The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
1280 The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5 K298CO Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. China is threatening what it calls further actions after a U.S. fighter jet shot down a suspected spy balloon off the East Coast yesterday afternoon. The White House says President Biden approved the downing and followed the advice of military officials by waiting to bring down the craft over water rather than risk debris falling on populated areas as the balloon meandered across the United States. Europe is cutting more energy ties with Russia, a ban on Russian refined oil products like diesel fuel, and a Western price cap takes effect today. If the cap works as intended, flows of diesel could reshuffle, but markets will have to adjust and there could be a brief spike in prices, experts say. And Tesla is raising the price of its Model Y in the U.S., apparently due to rising demand for that vehicle. This is SRN Sports.
This week in the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, brought to you in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy meets with the president to discuss our nation's spending problem.
The current path we're on, we cannot sustain. We got to change the directory to put ourselves on a path to balance.
Join us for our program. Sign up for our podcast at townhallreview.com.
Every Saturday evening at 7 and Sunday nights at 11. Here on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Think the home show is the place to buy a hot tub? Think again. Come to Master Pool and Spa, where it's free to shop, free to park, and this week save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. 0% financing available. Trade-ins welcome. We'll even haul away your old hot tub. Delivery to your home, cabin, or anywhere in the USA. Save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. Skip the crowds. Save thousands. Now through Sunday at Master Pool and Spa. 394 in Louisiana, St. Louis Park. Think the home show is the place to buy a hot tub? Think again. Come to Master Pool and Spa, where it's free to shop, free to park, and this week save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. 0% financing available. Trade-ins welcome. We'll even haul away your old hot tub. Delivery to your home, cabin, or anywhere in the USA. Save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. Skip the crowds. Save thousands. Now through Sunday at Master Pool and Spa. 394 in Louisiana, St. Louis Park.
It takes teamwork to stay safe on Minnesota roads during the winter. You can help. When you see snowplows at work, slow down. Slower speeds can save lives. Don't crowd the plow and leave plenty of space between yourself and other vehicles. Keep your headlights on to see and be seen. Avoid distractions and always stay alert behind the wheel. This message brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
C.S. Lewis once said, "Education without values seems to make man a more clever devil." A Christian education is the solution to this problem and can be yours for half price for your child's first year. TwinCitiesTuitions.com and area schools are working together to make this a reality for families just like yours. Now you can equip your child with the knowledge and moral foundation needed for them to make an impact in today's world. To see the full list of participating half-off tuition institutions, go to TwinCitiesTuitions.com. That's TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
Have you lost your gun rights due to an old criminal offense? Have you been denied a permit to carry or a purchase of a firearm? I'm Attorney Kelly Keegan, and I can help. Schedule a free consultation at KeeganLawOffice.com. That's K-E-E-G-A-N LawOffice.com.
Salmon fishing in Alaska, at an amusement park in Green Bay, or taking a stroll through Loring Park.
We're where you are.
Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Portions of this program may have been pre-recorded.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thanks, Doc. And this morning we're going to spend the hour with Christopher Robertson, who is the director of the Colorado State University Drone Center at Crispin Field in Fort Collins, Colorado. And Chris, welcome to the World of Aviation.
Good morning, Al. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I'm embarrassed to say that I had never even heard of Crispin Field, which is probably about 4 miles as the crow flies from our property here in northern Colorado. And when I learned about it, I was just amazed as I read more and more about it. Now, I've got a question for you. Was the field opened up, was the airport opened up in 1924 or 1928? I've seen two different dates for that.
You know, that's a great question. And what you spoke about is not an uncommon thing that I hear in Fort Collins and Colorado State around the area. Yeah. People are like, wait a second, CSU has an airport? I'm like, yeah. It's actually one of the oldest operating airports in Colorado still. So, you know, I can't tell you exactly the date, whether it was 24 or 28. The official words are 28 that I found. Okay. However, my research and a lot of my historical stuff, I have a picture of a biplane getting ready to deliver groceries.
Wow. How cool is that? How cool is that?
So it existed before 28. I think the actual purchase, the purchase date was 1928. Hmm.
And I've seen two, had 4 or 5 runways back in that time period.
The from what I can find, historical documents, we're actually going from a review of what's there, and we dug into some university archives to find some stuff. I've seen a couple diagrams that show two grass runways, and then in some older photographs, I've seen 4. I've never seen 5, though, but they at least had 4 at one point, and then it morphed over to kind of a traditional north-south, east-west type configuration of 4 grass, and then today all that remains is our north-south runway. It's a hard surface.
That's asphalt, I believe.
Yep, we've got 4,000 feet of aging asphalt, currently in need of repair. Working on what that's going to look like here for us in the future, but it's 4,000 by 60 of hard surface.
And we got to mention, this is a private airport. Is it being used at all for aircraft?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, a lot. Over the last, it's kind of had this interesting history in the 2000 era. It was a general aviation airport up until 2007. And then we ended up turning and reverting back to a private airport. And we were trying to figure out what was going to happen with it, and it started using for a lot of land use for vehicle training. Law enforcement used it for some high-speed driving training, things like that.
Hmm.
And then in 2013, unfortunately, Colorado had a major wildfire. It was called the Hyde Park Wildfire.
Yep.
And we realized it would make a great emergency operations center. And so for all of 2013, for the wildfire, for the Hyde Park, it was the operations center. And that happened again, unfortunately, when we had an even larger wildfire called the Cameron Peak Wildfire. Mm-hmm. And it turned into the heli base support. So from there, it was running up to 17 helicopters a day, all sorts of different makes and models, K-Maxes, all the way up to Sikorsky sky cranes. And post the fire use in 2018, when I took over the CSU Drone Center, we looked at that as a wonderful space to turn it into our UAS, which is a fancy word for drone that we use in the industry, to sure. turn it into our drone testing center.
Let's go back in time. Bert Christman, who the field is named after, he's an interesting story in himself. He learned how to fly at that airport. What was it called before it became Christman Field?
Well, in 1928, it was the Fort Collins Municipal Airport, and it remained that way until 1943.
And Christman, he learned how to fly at the airport, and the outbreak of World War II, I think before we even got involved in it, he became part of the Flying Tigers under General Chenault over in China. From what I've construed from what I've been reading, he was part of the Flying Tigers, which was China, and before Pearl Harbor was bombed. Correct?
Yeah, actually, you know, Christman has an interesting history when you look at him. I've been doing a lot of research in my time. I got to meet his family actually last year when we did an 80th anniversary flyover at the field for him. And so it was really interesting meeting them, and I also got to meet a lot of members of the Flying Tigers Association, mostly their families, because there's not many of them around at all. I think there's only one or two left. But what Christman did was, he was born here in Fort Collins in 1915, and he, in his early life, became a cartoonist. And so Christman was doing his cartoons, and he actually had a pretty notable cartoon of the day. It was called Scorchy Smith.
Yes.
And Scorchy Smith was his cartoon series was like a daredevil aviator. And this was right before the war, the pre-war era. And so a lot of people followed the Scorchy Smith series. And Christman said, you know, if I'm going to draw an aviator, if I'm going to know what it's like, I need to go out there and learn to fly. And so he learned to fly, and he learned to fly at what is now his airfield, Christman Airfield. And then he decided that he should actually do something about the upcoming war. So he enlisted in the Navy. And then from there, he joined an American volunteer group for the Chinese Army, which we now today know as the Flying Tigers.
Yeah.
So once Christman went over to Burma, he was flying a lot of missions, and his war history is well documented within the Flying Tigers Association. And he had some notable events. So one thing he was kind of famous for, being a cartoonist, was drawing his characters of pilots on the nose art of P-40 Warhawks.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, he was part of a squadron called the Panda Bear Squadron. And so a lot of the characters were the characterists of panda bears and various different outfits, and the airplanes were named after that. And so here's your cartoonist flying airplanes in combat. And it was pretty pretty intense. So in January 5th of 1942, he actually got shot up pretty badly in his airplane, and he bailed out. And he came back, and he survived it, had some minor wounds. But 2 weeks later, he was back flying. And unfortunately, on January 23rd, he got shot down again. And this time he was killed. Wow. It was unfortunate because if you read the articles, he was actually strafed in his parachute. So he made it out the second time even, but didn't make it back. So
That's a sad story.
It is a sad story.
Yeah,
very sad
yeah.
story. But he was an inspiration because he was one of America's first aviator casualties in World War II. And he even made it on some bail bonds. The statement was, you know, he gave his life, so what are you going to do, basically? There was a newsreel issued about him on the, I can't remember the exact newsreel, but, you know, you go in the theaters, you sit down, and you watch the newsreels in the early 1940s. There was one done on Christman, and then the Vale Bonds War, and then an honoring, the city of Fort Collins named the airfield after him in 1943. Mm.
Incredible. And there's other things that I learned that I had absolutely no idea, and we're going to touch on that. We're going to take a break. We're speaking with Chris Robertson, who is the director at the CSU Drone Center at Crispin Field, which is just northwest of Fort Collins. Actually, it's all part of Fort Collins now. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. And by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is the World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
This is Al Momberg. This Valentine's Day, give your loved one a scenic flight from Thunderbird Aviation. You'll see stunning views day or night as you fly over the Twin Cities, go over beautiful Lake Minnetonka, cruise over the state capitol, and circle over downtown Minneapolis. You can even experience an evening flight and see the lights of the Twin Cities. You can even fly over your home, but don't forget your camera. For more information, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. That's ThunderbirdAviation.com. There are a number of things that you have to learn to get your private pilot's license. One of those is the written FAA exam. To successfully pass, you need a solid ground school classroom to learn about weight and balance, radio communications, pre-flight actions, understanding aeronautical charts for navigation, along with the principles of aerodynamics and aircraft systems, and so much more. Thunderbird Aviation offers three different ground schools that will assure your success on the exam. For more information, visit their website at ThunderbirdAviation.com.
Think the home show is the place to buy a hot tub? Think again. Come to Master Pool and Spa, where it's free to shop, free to park, and this week save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. 0% financing available. Trade-ins welcome. We'll even haul away your old hot tub. Delivery to your home, cabin, or anywhere in the USA. Save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. Skip the crowds. Save thousands. Now through Sunday at Master Pool and Spa. 394 in Louisiana, St. Louis Park. Think the home show is the place to buy a hot tub? Think again. Come to Master Pool and Spa, where it's free to shop, free to park, and this week save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. 0% financing available. Trade-ins welcome. We'll even haul away your old hot tub. Delivery to your home, cabin, or anywhere in the USA. Save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. Skip the crowds. Save thousands. Now through Sunday at Master Pool and Spa. 394 in Louisiana, St. Louis Park.
If you've ever thought about becoming an airline pilot, now is the time to jump into this exciting industry. At Academy College, you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. The Bachelor of Commercial Aviation program prepares you for a position with the airlines, as well as private and corporate companies. Academy College offers flexible and convenient scheduling. Flight training is conducted through Thunderbird Aviation, which has two convenient locations. Academy College offers an RATP-approved program conducted under CFR 141 regulations, which allows a pilot to be hired with 1,000 hours with a bachelor's degree or 1,250 hours with your associate's degree versus the 1,500 hours normally required. That saves you time and money without compromising the high standards set. With their connections with several airlines, Academy College will help you bridge your degree to a career as a commercial pilot. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. The next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Chris Robertson, who is the director of the CSU Drone Center at Crispin Field in Fort Collins, Colorado. And before we get back to Chris, I want to mention that the four-flight aircraft entry, flight planning and filing, part two, the second in the series of discussions, is going to be held next Saturday on the 11th. It'll be held by Fred Naur, Assistant Chief Flight Instructor at Thunderbird Aviation. He will finish the introduction started in January. The main topic this month will be how to enter aircraft into the four-flight system to maximize the utilities offered in the program. Also covered will be entering information for both VFR and IFR flight planning and instructions on how to use the system to file, open, and close the flight plan. So again, this is going to be next Saturday, February 11th, And I would recommend you get on the website, thunderbirdaviation.com, for more information. Chris Robertson is our guest, and we're talking about Chrisman Field, which is now the CSU Drone Center at Chrisman Field. Eleanor Roosevelt, Chris, her grandson, graduating from CSU, her plane flew into Chrisman Field. And I have no idea what year that was.
Actually, 1958. There's kind of a really cool set of historical photographs of Eleanor getting out of the an Air Force plane at Chrisman itself to give the commencement speech for her relative that was graduating CSU. She was in on the airstrip there.
Now, this Chrisman Field, as a public utility airport, closed in 1965, and the new Fort Collins Airport was opened. For anybody that's familiar with Fort Collins, right off of Mulberry Avenue, which is a main strip that runs north and south, was the pilot community, the aviation community, were they upset that Chrisman Field was being really closed down as a public airport, and this new one being opened up?
I can't really speak to that one. That one I don't know on the community back there in 1965. However, the airport really didn't cease to exist in its functions as an airport. In 1965, CSU officially took it over. They kind of owned it a couple times back and forth in there, but officially took it over, and it became Colorado State College Airfield. They did a whole bunch of stuff between 65 and about 2007. It was still available for people to use as an airfield. A lot of people still came in there. The college set up a radar program where they were studying radar, and then they still had several flying clubs, a lot of hangars, and various different activities around aircraft all the way up into the early 2000s. They still even had a 182 living at the airport up until about 2010. So,
wow. It's interesting. Now, the one runway that you have, the north-south runway, does it have the electronics, PAPI or VASI lights or any of that, runway lights?
You know, funny story about those. It does have runway lights, and you should come out to the field sometime and see them. They're not operational anymore.
I would love to come out.
The actual airfield, the runway lights, are for when it was a grass strip. So the runway lights mark about 150-foot wide section of runway. And so they're not on the runway proper. And they've got these pedestals and, old glass bulbs that stand up and the really thick glass shielded cases. It's really neat. The electrical system is long dead to it. And they did have on 3-4, it had a approach system. And it was a two-light visual approach system, so on either side of the runway. So you would see, the white or the red, depending on your glide slope. And they existed out there until about a year ago. And they were still on the ground, but they did not work. And I kept on saying, hey, I'm going to unbolt these and take these and put them in the center as a relic piece for the center because they don't work anymore. And then one of my very, very helpful facilities people was out there mowing for me. And hit them both with the brush hog.
No.
And so now they don't exist anymore, and it's kind of a travesty and a sad thing. But, it is what it is. I'm currently in an estimation process to put in for some funding to revamp the airfield. And one of the things that we're going to do is bring back low-intensive runway lighting to the airfield so we can renew that, and it'll have it for nighttime operations.
Could this airport be used for if it was an emergency situation for a pilot that's having some problems with his aircraft? It can be. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Anything. As you know, as a pilot, Al, once you instate, the E word, it's whatever you need to do to take care of that situation safely.
Yep.
And probably once a year, on average, the airport receives unannounced traffic. So,
really,
matter of fact, for all of my UAS pilots that I have out there training, doing operations, testing aircraft, they have to go through a training we've built that specifically talks about what could happen in terms of a pilot using the runway as an emergency landing system. It was probably about 18 months ago was the last time we had one happen. We had a biplane who was over Horsetooth, if you know where that is. Most pilots know about that as a landmark.
Yep. Oh,
and odd thing, his prop separated. So he lost about one half of one side of the blade of a prop, which you should know that's going to cause a significant vibration engine imbalance, and you're going to possibly have the engine come off the front of the airplane, which is not a good day. So
it'll get your attention real fast.
He immediately shut it down, looked for a landing spot, and Chris was as close as and came down and put it down. So
now, do you have a radio frequency there at the private strip?
We don't. We don't have any radio equipment anymore. So we just run off the standard multicom of 122.9. So every once in a while, we'll bring in aviation traffic, whether it'll be a helicopter. We did land a 1949 Navion about a year ago at the Strip. And when we do that, we'll have either a ground controller or some prearrangements with the pilot. Some will be standing there with a pack set tuned to 122.9, giving them the current weather conditions and making sure the field's clear and ready to receive them.
Is there a windsock?
There's two of them.
Really?
Funny story, actually, on that one. That's a good story to share. So we have one at each end of the runway, and they're towered windsocks. So they're traditional aviation standard towered at windsocks. You can see them. You know, they're about 5 feet in length. But we had one of those major windstorms that came through, this summer. And I went out there, and all my windsocks were gone. And I'm like, okay. So we got the arborist tree truck from facilities to come out. They were really kind about it. And they came out, and they got up there, and we found, like, all of the bearings were shot in the windsocks. Everything was gone. And it was all tech from, you know, probably the 50s and 60s. And so you can't get parts for these anything anymore. So luckily CSU has this wonderful machinist trained, you know, classically trained in the 70s and 80s. And I ran it over to him. And he was able to reproduce all of these on his machine shop and create all the new spindles and everything for the windsocks. So now they're up, they're running, and probably smoother than they were when they were originally installed. So,
as a pilot yourself, have you ever seen a windier summer than we had this past summer?
I don't think I have. We had a couple storms that came through, the wind storms that were just unbelievable. I remember walking a couple places and almost seemed like it was going to blow me over. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. Yeah. And I think actually the day I even remember commenting, I'm like, I can't imagine trying to fly in this.
Well, my thoughts exactly. I thought, you know, because it was such a beautiful day, I thought, you know, if you took off and you were not paying attention to, you know, what the meteorologist, because the meteorologists were saying, hey, boy, it was like 2:15, we are going to be experiencing 90-mile-per-hour winds. And if you're going to be traveling between Fort Collins and Cheyenne, don't even think about it, especially large vehicles like semis. And boy, the timing was, I mean, they were dead on right. All of a sudden, bam. I mean, it was blowing like, and I thought, what if somebody had taken off? I mean, talk about a quick diversion. You're going to have to divert to your alternate airport.
You better hope
that's going to be quite a ways away.
Yeah, you hope you took plenty of fuel, right? Because I remember thinking almost the exact same thoughts was, I'm like, man, they forecasted these massive winds, and it's this morning, and everything's great. And then when it did finally hit, I remember thinking about that. And I'm like, oof, I hope nobody's up in the air that didn't do really good flight planning and was aware of this, because there's no way you can land an airplane in this.
But it's not uncommon for Colorado to have that, and you know, you've got to be so wary of the mountain wave effect and the winds that do come down from the mountains. And, you know, not to mention wind shear. It's a lot different than flatland flying, I'll tell you that. For me, it's been a real learning curve to take all of this in, because it is interesting.
You add in the high density altitude that we have here at our airport. So you know as well as I do, we factor this in a lot. Matter of fact, we're using Crispin a lot for that, is a high altitude testing for unmanned aircraft systems. A lot of these manufacturers rate all of their drones in standard day conditions. So, you know, 59 degrees Fahrenheit, the whole bit, and sea level pressure. And you bring it up here, and on a July day, even though our altitude at the airport's 5,016 feet, the air density will be 8,000 to 9,000 feet in terms of our altitude density at the surface.
Right.
So, if we're flying drones or doing something like that that's using just pure battery propulsion, since the only way to create lift is to spin the rotors faster, we consume our batteries faster. So, we do a lot of testing at Chrisman about endurance, payload capacity, efficiency of the drones up here at the higher elevations than what's listed usually in the specs. So,
Chris, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about Chrisman Field and the drones. And I've got a feeling that the students at Chrisman Field at the CSU Drone Center were all talking about this Chinese balloon that was sailing over the United States. I'm sure they were talking about that as drone pilot students. It's going to be interesting. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Robertson, who is the director of the CSU Drone Center at Chrisman Field. And you are listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with two locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
This is Al Malmberg. If you have children between the ages of 10 and 15, this could be for them. Every summer, Thunderbird Aviation hosts the Young Flyers Camp. It's 4 days a week for young, aspiring aviators. These camps are held at both Thunderbird locations, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and the Crystal Airport, in June, July, and August. This four-day course gives young flyers the opportunity to explore aviation in depth, along with 2 hours of flight time with an instructor. For more information, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. Earn as you learn when you enroll in the Apprentice Support Program at Academy College. There is an immediate need for aircraft maintenance technicians. Academy uses the proven approach of learning through on-the-job training, coupled with an educational element to prepare you to become a certified aviation mechanic in 30 months. Academy College offers support for those looking to hire an apprentice or to become an apprentice. For more information, call Academy at 952-851-0066. The next open house is February 15th.
Soaking up the sun in Fiji, walking through the sculpture garden in Minneapolis, or standing in awe at the Grand Canyon. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Immaculate Conception School is now accepting enrollment applications for fall 2023. Financial aid and scholarship funding still available. Schedule a tour today. Learn why Immaculate Conception School is your child's firm foundation. Search Immaculate Conception School.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted each year, leading to injuries and death. They know that if someone doesn't lawfully comply or resists, force may have to be used to obtain compliance. Nobody likes it, especially police. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer. Don't argue, resist, or flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now. Complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. Learn more at nationalpolice.org.
A commercial airliner cannot take off without the signed flight release of the captain and a dispatcher. That is how pivotal the role of a flight dispatcher is. Being a flight dispatcher is an incredible career, and Academy College in Bloomington offers an FAA-approved flight dispatcher course. This course is an intensive 10-week course that covers regulations, meteorology, aircraft systems and performance, and so much more. The dispatcher course at Academy College will help you excel in this field. This FAA-approved course is recognized by all the airlines across the country. Class size is limited for a healthy student-to-instructor ratio. For those who qualify, this program is eligible for the application of VA benefits. Academy College is located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. Next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. We'll be back with Chris Robertson momentarily. I want to pass along some sad news this morning. This past Tuesday, Ray Marketon passed away at the age of 92. He had a hangar out of Crystal Airport for right around 50 years where he kept his Bonanza. And his grandson let me know that he had passed on. And he sent this wonderful photograph of Ray and his wife standing in front of their Bonanza and their five grandkids and their pedal-powered Christian Eagles in front of the plane. And the photograph is absolutely priceless to the family. Our condolences, certainly. But, I mean, 50 years at Crystal Airport, Ray Markkanen passing away at the age of 92. We're speaking with Chris Robertson, who is the director of the CSU Drone Center at Chrisman Field in Fort Collins, Colorado. Am I right, Chris, where the drone students all a Twitter about this Chinese balloon flying over the United States this past week?
You know, it hit my – a couple of people asked me about it, kind of asked what was going on. You know, I'm not in the know more than anybody else that we are, but we had a pretty busy week, so I don't think a lot of my students were paying too much attention to the news about it. So I've been following recently. It looks like they actually shot it down off the waters just off the United States. What was that, yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday, and they were – just as it went over the Atlantic – from the East Coast, obviously, and they shot it down and was only in 47 feet of water. But the debris field of this balloon was quite large. It'll be interesting. I doubt if we'll ever know what exactly was inside this balloon, what technology was being used to observe the United States and what exactly they were looking at. I just don't think we will. Let's talk about the drone program. How many students do you have? And it's, you know, drones, it looks like it's the future for drone pilots is very bright. How many students do you have, and what is the curriculum like?
Yeah, boy, wow. A lot to talk about there, especially mentioning the future of drones and the next generation of aviators and workforce development. A lot of things that I think that the FAA and the industry are looking at right now and what that looks like. So, as far as CSU, so the CSU Drone Center, I have four students currently involved in my program work directly for me that are my student techs. But part of the education pieces that we offer CSU is we offer two classes. One is called our CSU Drone Flight School, and then the other one is a UAV Mapping and Modeling Workshop. And these are classes designed to teach basically, the flight school is about 60% of ground school that a traditional aviator would go through, plus all of the skill set to operate a drone specifically, and the knowledge to get past what's called the Part 107, which is the licensure from the FAA to get your commercial drone pilot's license. And then the mapping and modeling workshop that we offer is about how to go out and gather accurate data sets using drones of the Earth to create GIS, which is informational systems products. So basically creating maps of the Earth or models of the Earth, think Google Earth on steroids type thing, is what we can do with the drones. Smaller areas because of our flight capabilities, but when you look at like Google Earth, if you zoomed into your driveway, you could see your trucks, and you're like, oh, that's kind of my truck. Okay, that's the right color, kind of the right make and model. Well, if you created it using a drone, you could probably see whether it was a Coke or a Diet Coke on the dashboard type thing in terms of the quality that we can generate. So we've trained about 620 pilots currently in the course of our 4 years, drone pilots specifically. And we've worked with about 1,900 different people in our educational pieces. But the other thing that the center really offers is kind of turnkey solutions to researchers and industry when it comes to drones. A lot of people get a little bit nervous about operating a drone, especially when some of these can could easily range up into the $40,000 to $100,000 just for the aircraft itself. Mm-hmm. So now we're taking something off that we've never even trained on or going and completing a mission. And a lot of these drones are automated to enough that they fly themselves. It's all in the flight plan. You program them. You send them on a mission, they go complete it, and they come back, and you're the human on the loop watching the flight plan, making sure that the aircraft's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing, monitoring the airspace, space, and being basically a safety observer, and then bringing the aircraft back and making sure it completes its cycle. But still, there's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of skill set in case something goes wrong. And so we end up either training or hiring out or being the turnkey solution for our researchers to be able to go do their missions without 6 months worth of training, without 6 months worth of skill set development. to go achieve this. So both our educational piece and then our research and industry support are kind of the two prongs that the center does a lot of.
We hear a lot of major companies, like Amazon is one of them. If they're not doing it already in some markets, they are certainly going to be doing it very shortly, delivering packages via drone. We've heard about some restaurants delivering pizza via drone. it looks like this is going to be the future. I guess my first question is, when you're delivering a package from Amazon, what kind of limitations are there going to be as far as the altitude, the height that they can go at?
Yep.
How is this airspace going to be controlled, if at all?
Yep.
The logistics on this, it seems to me, might be a nightmare if you have, let's say, in northern Colorado, for example, or in the Twin Cities, you have a dozen companies that are going to be delivering packages via drone. Is somebody going to be controlling that airspace?
Right. That is a wonderful question. And honestly, you hit the nail on the head. That is the $10 million question that the industry, the FAA, and a lot of the researchers and everybody's looking at, is how do we integrate unmanned, uncrewed aircraft systems into a traditional aviator's airspace? Being a pilot myself, and I know you're a pilot as well, and funny anecdote, when we talked about this, we realized we've both flown the same airplane within about the last
yes.
year.
Yes.
But when we get in an airplane and we fly around, most of our flight, even IFR flight, is contingent upon a human being in the cockpit looking out the window, not running into things. And so we have that system that has not changed since, the Wright brothers pretty much did their first flight. We have air traffic controllers, but a lot of it's reliant on the human pilot. Well, we bring in the unmanned aircraft system that in many ways is more technically advanced than most of the airplanes out there on the market and can do all these autonomous flights and sensing of its environments and be able to fly around. How do we put those into the environment that doesn't have the same capabilities? So what they're looking at, there's a variety of solutions they've been reviewing, whether it's automatic detect and avoid systems on board the drones themselves. There's some small components that have been developed that are starting to be able to do that, where they can autonomously detect an aircraft and then or a obstacle and then take avoidance maneuvers. Some of the drones that I've built actually have ADS-B receivers in them, and so they can listen for an ADS-B-equipped aircraft, and they have safety breaches. So if the aircraft gets within 1,000 feet of the drone, it'll immediately make right-hand turns away from the aircraft and keep doing that over and over again to make sure that it's safe and secure. So there's going to need to be a lot of technology development that's going to be implemented and tested and ensure that we don't have that. And then the other concept is kind of coming up with airspace that is specifically set aside so that they are not coexisting at the same altitudes or the same locations. Currently, the FAA has limited drones to below 400 feet AGL. So if, most of your legal framework is that you have to be 500 feet away from a person, place, or thing as a traditional pilot. Mm-hmm. Or if you're in a congested area, you have to be, 1,000 feet above the earth. So the concept is most of the time the systems aren't interrupting integrating right now. So how do we establish that going forward to allow air traffic corridors or specifically unmanned aircraft corridors for the drones to operate and carry out their mission while not interfering with traditional aviation carrying out its mission as well? So that's, like you said, that's the $10 million question on how we're going to be able to get these systems out there doing their jobs while still having traditional aviation do its job as well.
Now, will the drone pilots, will they be licensed as drone pilots by the FAA?
It depends on what you're doing. Right now, the FAA requires that you have to have a commercial drone pilot's license if you are going to make money in any way, shape, or form with your aircraft. So if you receive any type of compensation for your flying, whether it's, you post your videos to YouTube and then you monetize your channel, or you take some photographs of your house and then put them up on a realtor's market, then you're receiving a benefit for your flight. So you have to have a commercial drone pilot's license. That's that part 107. It's a 60-question test, very similar to what you went through for your private pilot's license, except for they remove a lot of the systems components of the aircraft from it.
Mm-hmm.
But going forward, some of these more complex operations, what they're currently looking at is either requiring you to have an actual private pilot's license or even some of these BVLS, which is beyond visual line of sight. So the aircraft is flying out of the line of sight of the pilot, possibly even having instrument ratings depending on size of the aircraft, complexity of the operation, things like that. So depending on the operation currently depends on the level you need. A lot of things are starting to become easier to do with the 107, but it traditionally used to be if you were flying an aircraft above 55 pounds, you had to have even a traditional pilot's license.
Interesting. Chris, we're going to take a break. Chris Robertson is our guest. He is the director of the CSU Drone Center at Crispin Field in Fort Collins, Colorado. And you're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly, with two locations, at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
This is Al Momberg. This Valentine's Day, give your loved one a scenic flight from Thunderbird Aviation. You'll see stunning views day or night as you fly over the Twin Cities, go over beautiful Lake Minnetonka, cruise over the state capitol, and circle over downtown Minneapolis. You can even experience an evening flight and see the lights of the Twin Cities. You can even fly over your home, but don't forget your camera. For more information, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com. That's ThunderbirdAviation.com. There are a number of things that you have to learn to get your private pilot's license. One of those is the written FAA exam. To successfully pass, you need a solid ground school classroom to learn about weight and balance, radio communications, pre-flight actions, understanding aeronautical charts for navigation, along with the principles of aerodynamics and aircraft systems, and so much more. Thunderbird Aviation offers three different ground schools that will assure your success on the exam. For more information, visit their website at ThunderbirdAviation.com.
Think the home show is the place to buy a hot tub? Think again. Come to Master Pool and Spa, where it's free to shop, free to park, and this week save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. 0% financing available. Trade-ins welcome. We'll even haul away your old hot tub. Delivery to your home, cabin, or anywhere in the USA. Save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. Skip the crowds. Save thousands. Now through Sunday at Master Pool and Spa. 394 in Louisiana, St. Louis Park. Think the home show is the place to buy a hot tub? Think again. Come to Master Pool and Spa, where it's free to shop, free to park, and this week save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. 0% financing available. Trade-ins welcome. We'll even haul away your old hot tub. Delivery to your home, cabin, or anywhere in the USA. Save 35 to 70% on a new hot tub or swim spa. Skip the crowds. Save thousands. Now through Sunday at Master Pool and Spa. 394 in Louisiana, St. Louis Park.
If you've ever thought about becoming an airline pilot, now is the time to jump into this exciting industry. Al Momberg here for Academy College of Aviation, where you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. The Bachelor of Commercial Aviation program prepares you for a position with the airlines, as well as private and corporate companies. Academy College offers flexible and convenient scheduling. Flight training is conducted through Thunderbird Aviation, which has two convenient Twin Cities locations. Academy College offers an RATP-approved program conducted under FAR 141 regulations, which allows a pilot to be hired with the 1,100 hours versus the normal 1,500 hours required. That saves you time and money without compromising the high standards set. With their connections with several airlines, Academy College will help you bridge your degree to a career as a commercial pilot. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. The next quarter begins April 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Before we get back to Chris Robertson, I just want to remind you again that the second in the series of discussions conducted by Fred Nauer, Assistant Chief Flight Instructor at Thunderbird Aviation, is going to be held next Saturday, February 11th at 1 p.m., and again, that's going to be Central Time. It's on the four-flight electronic flight bag. He will finish the introduction that he started in January, and the main topic this month will be how to enter aircraft into the four-flight system to maximize the utilities offered in the program. Also covered will be entering information for both VFR and IFR flight planning and instructions on how to use the system to file, open, and close the flight plan. And again, the second in the series will be next Saturday, the 11th, at 1 p.m., February 11th. We're speaking with Chris Robertson. He is the director of the CSU Drone Center at Crispin Field in Fort Collins, Colorado. Chris, I remember back during the Gulf War, I had as a guest on the show a young lady, I believe she was 20, 21 years old, and she was flying a drone. I don't recall her exact location, but she was in the United States and flying a drone on military missions over in Iraq. I mean, that's going back, how many decades at this point.
Yeah.
But they were using it back then, and I thought, you know, this is going to be the future, unmanned aircraft in combat.
You know, that actually has an interesting history to it. Most people don't realize that, you know, drones in kind of their compassion has been around for a very long time. I mean, the first RC vehicle was actually a boat. 1898, it was operated by a fellow we probably all know called Nikola Tesla. And then from there, there was the Kittering Bug in 1916, which was an aerial gunnery target for some of the first World War I fighters. And it was operated by a radio control station. But the drone is an interesting one. It actually came from an airplane that was used as an aerial target in the 30s, and it looked like a little bit of a bee, and someone called it a drone based off of, you know, the drone from the beehive, and that's where the term drone came from. But I'm not sure what aircraft she was flying, but in the Gulf War, one of the first uses of UAVs kind of really occurred in modern warfare was they were using it as a spotter aircraft off the USS Missouri. You know, the 80s, the Reagan administration unmothballed the Missouri World War II battlecruiser, right, and retrofitted it. And then they would send the UAV from the Missouri out to the shoreline and do aerial spottering for the gunnery off Missouri. And that was kind of some of the first modern UAV wartime uses. They've always kind of existed since 1960 in various conventions and roles, but I wonder if she was involved in that program at all.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't remember, because this was probably, 20 years ago at least that we had around the show. I just don't recall, but as we were talking about, you know, I remember having a military pilot on that flew the drones in a combat scenario, and she had such a sweet little innocent voice. It was hard to imagine her flying a drone that, if I remember right, it was armed. I could be wrong on that, but I that's in the back of my head. It's just fascinating where we're going with this. I've got a question for you, Chris. A couple of years ago, we had all kinds of drone sightings here in northern Colorado. In fact, one night my wife had let the dogs out. It was probably 9:45, 10 o'clock at night. The sun had gone down. It was midsummer. And she came in the house and she said, you know, I think there are some drones that are flying over here to the east of us. And I came outside and I said, yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember, we had all kinds of drone sightings that particular summer. Were you guys involved in that?
I don't think that I was actually any of the people flying the drones, but I'll tell you, I sure got some questions asked of me.
I bet.
I actually had back then, in order to fly a drone at night, you needed a special authorization from the FAA. And I actually had one of those. I had several of them for various locations in northern Colorado. So naturally, I was one of the first people that started getting questions asked of, hey, you have this authorization. Are you legally and lawfully using it? And in all the instances, no, we had not been in the air during that time. So, you know, I'm not sure what it was. I have some credible people that I know that came to me and said, I saw this thing. And I was like, no. And they actually said, no, look at this. I have a photo of it. And I actually have a flight track of it on Flight Radar 24. And so I can't tell you exactly what it was, but there definitely was some unmanned aircraft activity involved. And it wouldn't also surprise me if there was a little bit of misidentification as well. I've seen some people that I know go, oh, look at that drone. And I look up, you know, and I'm like, that's a Cessna 172. That's not a drone.
Yeah. That's a That night when Kathy and I were standing outside watching these, there were, I don't recall, three, maybe four. And, you know, they were flying in formation, moving very slowly. And I said, you know, that appears to me that would be drones by their speed and their altitude. And I thought, you know, the next day we're going to get all kinds of people, you know, calling radio stations and reporters, you know, wondering what was with the drones last night over northern Colorado. But I've got a feeling we're going to be seeing more and more of this as more and more people get involved with it.
Well, I mean, yes, I could see that. And also, if you're following, like, the fireworks kind of shows, they're starting to slowly be replaced by drone light shows.
Okay.
Because it,
wow.
Yeah. This actually last 4th of July, several major cities in Colorado operated with drone light shows instead of traditional fireworks. The cost is,
really?
Yeah, they're usually much higher than fireworks right now because of the technology, the limiting factors, the personnel involved, the programming, the permissions that you have to have. But ecologically and economically, I think it's more sustainable going forward to start using them as the light shows, and you don't have the risk of fires
and
various things that can happen with fireworks. So, I always like fireworks, but also seeing drone light shows is pretty cool as well. So,
yeah. Did you say there was somewhere in Colorado they were doing that last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think off the top of my head, it was either Breckenridge or Aspen. I'm not sure which ski town it was, but one of the major ski towns did it.
Yeah.
I know there's a couple other towns that were at least talking about it, but I'm not sure. But I know one of the mountain towns specifically did it. It was all the buzz in the media.
That would be fun to see. I'm going to keep an eye on that. I've got another question for you, going back to the original Crispin Field. Were there planes being manufactured at Crispin Field? I came across something when I was searching it. Forney Corporation?
Yep. There was actually two aircraft companies that produced airplanes at Crispin Field, generally during the late 50s and early 60s. So the Forney Air Coupe was produced in limited numbers. I think it was between 60 and 100 airplanes were produced in hangars at Crispin. And then also the Silv Air Uranium and Aircraft Company produced one of their Luscom models at Crispin.
Huh.
Matter of fact, the first Luscom they produced by the Silver Air Company was produced at Crispin, and its registration number is of November 9900C for Charlie. And it's still in existence to this day. It's currently being rebuilt, and I got to meet with the owner of the aircraft because we have an upcoming event at Crispin Field that we're announcing tomorrow for registration called the Colorado Drone Air Show. And we're very hopeful that the original Luscom can return for the Colorado Drone Air Show at Crispin Field on October 6th and 7th and be part of a static aircraft display as it was produced when its first flight was there.
Is this going to be open to the public?
Absolutely. So this event, the Colorado Drone Air Show, what we're eyeing is one of the largest outdoor drone air shows in the nation at an airfield. So because we have such large space, 4,000 feet of runway, 365 acres that we can secure, we're going to bring in approximately 50 to 60 exhibitors, all about manned aircraft systems, drones, industry representatives, technology vendors, in a fly out the back of your booth scenario.
Fun.
So
Chris, unfortunately, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have run out of time, and it flies by. And I'm going to ask you to hold on. I'll talk to you off air. And it's been fun having you on the show, Chris. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. Chris Robertson, the director of the CSU Drone Center at Crispin Field. You've been listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington, and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
Sightseeing in Paris, at the mall in Bloomington, or on horseback in Dallas. We're where you are. Listen to AM 1280, The Patriot, at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help this station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
Are you about to sign an order for siding, roofing, or windows, but you're worried that the price is too high? Keep them honest by contacting me at getmythreequotes.com, and I'll email competitive quotes your way. That's the number 3, getmythreequotes.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.